Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, oh, but glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. Oh, but Jesus, he will outshine them all. You believe that this morning? Oh, and mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Oh, what a happy, happy reunion on streets. Jesus, he will outshine them all. Listen, the sparkling river is flowing. Happy faces all glowing. A land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass, it gives reflection. Road, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good again. I want to say thank you for the offering. Thank you for your love. Been coming around here for a few years now, and you're still putting up with me. Still putting up with me. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and I was telling somebody this morning, I was texting a friend and sharing with her about the service this morning and some things that I was facing in my body. And I told her, I said, I used to, but I've quit quite a while back, several years ago. I have quit praying, and before you fall out with me, let me finish what I'm saying. I have quit praying for the Lord to anoint his word, because it's already anointed. It's me that needs the anointing. The word doesn't need the anointing. It's already been anointed. I need the anointing this morning. Amen. So that's what I'm trusting him to do. Because I'm going to tell you something about the anointing. The anointing, and I've said this over and over, and I say it pretty frequently, because I grew up under a very misquoted scripture. I grew up all of my life hearing preachers say it, and I just picked up saying the same thing, that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And that's not what the Bible says. The anointing doesn't just break the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. And there's a big difference between breaking and destroying. If I had Brother Frank here from Mercy Song Revival, I'd have him tell you. He was relating to me a story last night about how sister, or yesterday, about his wife, Sister Donna, about a big cake taker, a big glass cake dish fell off a shelf and hit her on the back of the head and busted her head. And he said, I'm telling you, that when that thing hit the floor, it was in a zillion shivers. It was just pieces. There was no putting that back together. But you see, if I have a pot or a cup and I just maybe drop it and the handle breaks off, I can glue that back on with super glue. But I'm telling you, when the anointing comes, there ain't no gluing it back together. When the anointing comes, it's destroyed. The yoke is destroyed. I don't even know why I said all that. That's not in here. But anyway, hey, whatever. You know me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. I've witnessed that this week. I lost a great-grandson this last week. Just born at 6 months along and little tiny thing, a pound and 4 ounces and 12 inches long, but fully formed. But it was not his time to live. It was his time to die. God had a bigger plan. He said, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. That's the one I have the hardest time with right there. Man, the Bible says the one thing is study to be quiet. I ain't studied near enough. And a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Then he goes on, Ecclesiastes 8 and 5 says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. Who can tell him when it shall be? And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. I don't always just go through and read all my scriptures at one time. But I feel like doing that this morning. The writer said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Lord, I'm not asking you to anoint your word. It's already been anointed. But, oh, your handmaiden needs anointing right now, Lord. I need your anointing to destroy every thought that would come into my mind that's not lined up with what you want me to say today. I need you to destroy every physical ailment that's trying to attack my body this morning. I need you to destroy that with the anointing this morning, I pray, God. And, Lord, I need that anointing, Lord, to touch some heart this morning and destroy the things that are binding them and keeping them from redeeming the time, and we'll praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not a brilliant person. Y'all know that if you know me. And so I Google a lot. I'll just be honest with you. You may call that plagiarism or whatever, but I Google. I look for information on the internet. And so some of the things I'm going to share with you, you can look it up too, you know. So if you doubt me, just Google it. You'll find it. Now, but it says time can be defined as the continuous, and I like this. I mean, some of these things are pretty good. Some of them, and some things you look at Google and you think, oh, no, that's not the best. But this is pretty good. Time can be defined as the continuous, I'm going to glare on my, have to bear with me. Time can be defined as the continuous, irreversible progression of existence. Now I've got to say that again. Time can be defined as the continuous, irreversible progression of existence. Moving from the past through the present and into the future. How many knows today we can't go back to yesterday? Can't go back. Yesterday is a canceled check. There's no getting yesterday's back. And all that you and I have right now is this present time. But do you know what? Time is not standing still. We're moving on. Time, as long as we are breathing. Boy, where'd that come from? I think it's because she said she was getting drunk. I'm breathing. But anyway, as long as we are breathing, time is moving on. Existence is going on. It's a progression from the past through the present and into the future, and it's irreversible. It can't be changed. As much as you and I would like to go back, I've heard people say, oh, if I could just go back to my 20s, boy, I'd do this different, I'd change this different, you know. But you know you can't do it. You cannot change the past. It's irreversible, and time is moving on. It's the dimension in which events occur and often measured using units like we know as seconds, minutes, and hours. Time allows us to measure the duration of events and the intervals between those events. Sometimes those intervals are short periods. Sometimes they're years between. You know, from time to time, you'll see on social media where someone has reconnected with, I don't know how much of it's true. You know, if it's on Facebook, it's got to be true. That's gospel, right? I mean, if you read it on Facebook, it's gospel. I don't even believe everything I hear for sure, much less what I read. But, here I go chasing another rabbit again. They used to say that eyewitness information was the best, and now they are saying in the courtroom that they don't even have that much confidence in eyewitness accounts anymore. An eyewitness account, because look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had eyewitness accounts, but every one of them saw something just a little bit different. But from time to time, you'll see on social media maybe or hear on the news where way up in their years, even older than me, if you can believe people get older than me. Well, they do because Gordon's older than me. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Holy Ghost just reminded me of that. So you can get older than me. But anyways, but even way older than Brother Gordon, I mean, you'll see where a couple have not had any connection since they were in high school. And they've married, their spouses have passed away, and here, 60 years later, they've been reunited, and they get married finally, you know. It happens. So sometimes there's long intervals between time. Sometimes time, it's just a few seconds, just a few minutes, and something transpires and something else. I wanted to look up about where the first clock come from. Where did it come? Before the clock was made, there was recognition of the need. Somebody recognized the need to measure time. And different cultures had different approaches to that. We don't know who discovered the first clock as timekeeping. Technology has evolved over time from the many ancient devices that often relied on natural indicators of time. I never was real good at reading a sundial, but I know that there's, you know, I've been places where they have them on the ground or on a hillside, and you could tell time by the sun on those sundials. I wasn't really ever very good at that. But sundials have been used back as far as 1,500 years before Christ in ancient Egypt. They were among the first devices to measure hours by tracking the sun's movement. Then they came along with water clocks. I don't know how to use a water clock either. But they were significant, with early versions appearing in Babylon and Egypt around the same time. Water clocks operate by regulating the flow of water into or out of a vessel, with the water level marking the passage of time. Sounds pretty simple until you try to figure it out. And then we've got shadows. Since shadows were hard to measure on a cloudy day, you know, and water wasn't always abundantly available, then they had to come up with some other forms of ancient clock technology. Two examples that are pretty common were the candlestick clock and the hourglass. We had, you know, when I was a kid, Grandma had that little egg timer. You ladies still have one of them little egg timers, you know, and I need one of those because I always boil my eggs too long. But anyway, if y'all want to get me something, get me a little egg. I don't have an egg timer. But those were common. Those became common usage as symbols of the passage of time. The candlestick clock utilized a different method from the hourglass and the water clocks. With these timekeepers, a candle would be lit beside an evenly spaced series of markings. And as the candle burned down, then the height of the candle would be relative to the markings and would show the passage of time. Considering other timekeeping methods required outdoor use and that ancient clock, you know, we just kept going on trying to find something a little bit better. Till finally we come up with the mechanical clock. And the first mechanical clock is credited to the medieval period. Y'all getting a lesson this morning. You didn't know you was coming to Sunday school this morning, but that's what we're all learning. Was credited to the medieval period around the 14th century. And if the Lord will help me, I'll preach in a minute. Just bear with me. If he don't, we won't. These early clocks were primarily found in European monasteries. They were weight-driven, and they were regulated by escapements. They were not now, this is what I want you to understand. This is what really stood out to me. They were not designed for accuracy. Okay, these shoes is coming off. These clocks that they developed in the monasteries were not designed for accuracy. So you're saying, okay, so what were they designed for? They were designed to signal prayer. That's what they were designed for, was to call the monks to prayer, to signal a time of prayer. They didn't even have a minute hand on them. The first example, notable example we have is the clock at Salisbury Cathedral that was built around 1386. And it was built to signal a time for prayer. Of all the things that we measure in life, we measure life, we measure, you know, things that go on, we measure events. You're probably trying to measure how long I'm going to preach this morning. Now, just good luck. Good luck on that one. We measure, you know, in fact, last night we went to a singing and they had the building rented for, what'd you say, 3 hours? We went over a little bit, and it cost them an extra $100. You know, time was measured by the event, by how long you used the building. But these monks, they designed these clocks not to measure time, not for accuracy of time, but to signal a time for prayer. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I have a question I want to ask you today. Can you see the clock? Where's my clock keeper? Can you see the clock from where you stand? And that's the title of my little short message this morning that I'm going to try to preach to you. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Now, about 90% of you are better going to say, "No, I'm just looking at the chicken on there." You're not even realizing. Some of you thought that Sister Bridget brought a picture of a chicken up here. That's a clock. It's a timepiece. We use it to measure time. It's got a second hand on it. No, but you can figure out the minutes if you got a brain. But it's what we use to measure time with. It's just decorated with a chicken because that's what Sister Brenda likes. She's got chickens, so I had her take that down off her kitchen wall this morning and bring it for me. But what I wanted to say is you can't see the clock for looking at the chicken, some of you. You're just so distracted by that. You're not paying any attention to the time. You're not realizing what the time even says on that clock because all you're doing is looking at the chicken. Can I tell you today that too much of our life is spent looking at things in front of us instead of paying attention to what time it is? We are so drawn away by the lust of the flesh. We are so drawn away by the events of life and the activities that we take on that we're not seeing the clock this morning. We're not redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're not realizing it's high time today to awake out of our sleep and look at the clock this morning. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Y'all are here. I don't know if this is, I think the computer might be messed up, so this may not be online. It might be a good thing if it's not. It is on? Oh, my. I will get in trouble if anybody watches this. But I'm telling you, I've been in trouble all my life. That's my middle name, so I might as well not change it now. If you're not here today, do I dare say this? And you could be here today, physically, and you've chosen to fill your life with other activities today, you don't see the clock. You don't see the clock. You have been drawn away by your own lust. You say, "I'm not a lustful person." That lust means anything that comes in between you and God. Anything that comes in. Brenda told me I wasn't going to stay back here. I said, "Yeah, I'm going to stay back there today." See, the Lord's done touched me. I couldn't have done this an hour ago. I woke up with some equilibrium and vertigo, and I couldn't walk down the hall without holding on to the wall because I kept wanting to go the other direction. So the Lord has come by and touched me. Thank you, sister, for your prayers and those that prayed for me. Anything that stands, anything that draws you away, anything that draws you from the obedience to the Word of God, anything that draws you, I don't remember who said it. It may be Brother Gary, I don't know him, or Brother Hall, someone this morning said, "We've come to worship. That's what we're here for." And if you don't have a hunger to worship, you've been drawn away by lust of this life. You've allowed something like that chicken to come in between you and the clock. You're not seeing the time. I had her purposely set that clock. I said, take the battery out because I don't want it moving on me while I'm trying to preach. Set it about 5 minutes to 12. I'm telling you, we're closer than that. We are close, Brother Danny, to the midnight hour. You say, well, they've been saying that for years. When I was about 18, I took some business classes, and I had a business teacher, and I was 18 and full of zeal and a mouth that didn't shut up, you know. I just talked about the Lord to everybody, whether they wanted to hear it or not. And so I was telling him, and I talked. He said, let me tell you something. I thought he was an old man. He was probably in his 50s. I thought he was old. It's amazing the older you get how much younger people, I mean, you know, seem. But I thought he was an old man. And anyway, I was sitting at his desk and we was talking. He said, let me tell you something. I said, tell me. He said, my grandma used to always talk about the coming of the Lord. And he said, I've heard that all of my life and he still ain't come. And I looked at him and I said, let me tell you something. Just bear with us a little bit longer. Because one of these days you won't hear it no more. Bear with, just tolerate us a little bit longer. Put up with us saying the Lord's coming. Just bear, because if you ain't careful, one of these days you won't hear that no more. Because he will have already come. We are closer now. And I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist, because that's the way time is. Time moves on. We are over 2,000 years closer to the coming of the Lord than we were when he said this generation won't pass away. We are that much closer. We are close to that midnight hour. And you know what? Folks are sitting in churches on church pews this morning that don't see the clock from where they sit. They see everything else. I have a little theory or something to say that I say, and it doesn't make sense to some people. But I say, plan as if you're going to live forever. But live as if today's the last day. Ain't nothing wrong with making plans. There's not a thing in the wrong with you making plans. But live as if today is the last day. I'm not against you having plans. I mean, I got plans. I've got things coming up and trips planned and things to do. But I'm telling you, today, I'm looking at the clock. And today, I want to live today as if this is my very last day, because I don't know. Amen. It may be. I thought this morning, I was standing up here while God was going, ooh. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, just. And Sister Brenda was singing and talking about, you know, Lord coming back. And I said, Lord, just if you don't just take me right now, I'm cold. I'm serious. I'm as serious as a heart attack. I mean it. God knows my heart today. I love my family. I love my friends. I love preaching the gospel. But I'm telling you, my heart's crying, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. This old gal is ready to go home. I'm ready to go see my Lord. I'm ready to bow down at his feet and worship him. But I'm not going to make it if I can't see the clock. If I've got my eyes on everything, if I'm sitting in church and I'm watching somebody, there's a reason I sit on the front row at my home church. Because if I sit back there where you're at, I'm going to be watching everybody in front of me and what they're doing. I'm nosy, in case you didn't know that. And I have ADD, and I'm easily sidetracked. So I have to sit on the front row so I can't. In fact, I was kind of shocked this morning. I was sitting up here, and I didn't think there's very many people here. And I got up and walked over here. Ooh, there's quite a few people here this morning. I hadn't looked behind me. But I want to see the clock. I want to be aware of what's going on. I want to know what's happening. And I want to be looking for that midnight hour, that midnight call. Woo! When Jesus steps forth. But I'm telling you, I'll miss it if I don't keep my eyes on the clock. If I let myself be drawn away. You say, in one breath, I can hear someone's mind thinking. In one breath, you're saying, it's okay to make plans. And the other breath, you're saying, we're letting things come in front of us. Let me tell you something about your plans. If your plans hinder you, hello, from being faithful to the house of God. I mean, I won't be back next week, so I can say what I want to say today. And by the time I do get back, hopefully you will have forgiven me and forgot what I said anyway. That's the fun part about being an evangelist. You just come in and stir everything up and leave it for the pastor, darn it out. But if your plans are coming between you and faithfulness to God and to God's house, it ain't going to fly. It's not going to fly. It's going to hinder you and stop you from seeing the clock where you're at. We are so easily distracted. I'm not against church programs. I'm not against church activities. I think the young folks ought to have things to do. But I'm telling you, anything, I don't care if it's in church, anything that comes between you and worship is wrong. Well, I am preaching the choir this morning. Y'all amening me. Where's all them others at? Can you see the clock this morning from where you stand? Do you see the time? There's a man in the Bible one time, and he wasn't looking at the clock. He wasn't paying any attention to his time. But he did, something did catch his eye. He looked up on the wall. It wasn't a clock he saw. It was a handwriting on the wall. Well, that caught his eye. He didn't know what it meant. He didn't know what it said. But Daniel, I believe, told him, he said, here's what that says. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You ain't looking at the clock. You can't see the clock. All you see is the chicken. And I'm telling you, somebody here today, God wants you to get a better vision of the clock. God wants you to see redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't understand it. I'm simple-minded, and I don't understand the mentality of people who will talk about church folks. And I just preach about church people. I mean, you know, that's who's here, right? Church folk. That'll say, oh, this is an evil day we're living in. Oh, it's so awful out there. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they'll go on and on. And I agree with all that. I'm not saying it's not. It is a very evil day that we're living in. And in the same breath, well, I can't be at church next Sunday because, you know, we got this going on and we got that going on and we're going to take this. I don't understand the mentality of that. Boy, you better pray. You better pray. I don't understand the mentality of people who claim to be saved, born again, Holy Ghost filled, who's scared to get in their pocketbook and put an offering in. And I ain't talking about my offering. I'm talking about your tithe and offering. Do you know that your tithe and your offering is as much a part of living for God and obeying God as anything else that you do. He says, He said, you've robbed me. How have we robbed you? We ain't took nothing out of the church. He said, you've robbed me with your tithe and your offering. You're keeping it for something else. I'm going to tell you something. I made this statement, I don't remember where I was at, somewhere I preached a week ago or something. And I asked a person afterwards, I said, did that sound braggadocious? Is that a real word? I don't know. It's about as good as that word he uses. What's that word you use? What's that fancy word he uses? A P word. No. I think so. I can't think now. He uses a fancy word. Plethorgy or something. Plethora something. Plethora. I've never heard of that word. That's, yeah. Okay, so I don't know if braggadocious is a word or not. I think he made that one up. But anyway, I made this statement, and I made it with as much humbleness and sincerity from my heart as I can. In no wise do I mean it to come across as bragging or anything on my brag on Jesus all the time. But you'd have to know where I came from. You see, I grew up I was telling somebody last night, I do not remember one time until I was 16 years old, maybe 17, that my mother and I ever went out to eat anywhere at a restaurant. Not even a hamburger at McDonald's. We didn't have money. Mama cooked all the time, and you ate what Mama cooked. Lots of biscuits and gravy and fried potatoes. You can tell that by looking at me. And, I mean, whatever could be. Lots of macaroni. Oh, man, you could. If anybody could figure 365 ways to cook macaroni, my mama could. It was macaroni because it was cheap. And so we had no money. We did not have money to do anything. When people would, and as I got older, as people would take me out to eat, Brother Gary, they always bought my meal. People were always buying for me. And I felt like all of my life I was a recipient, thankfully, of the goodness and graciousness of God's people. I've been blessed over the years by others, but I never felt like I could bless them. I didn't have it. And I paid my tithe. My children grew up knowing if they got a dollar, they better put a dime in the offering. You got a dime? You wait till you got some more money to make it a dime, because now you got 9 cents. I'm serious. And I raised my children that way, and they're all three. God's blessed them, and they are still doing that today, and they're raising their families the same way. Because I'm a believer in that. What's this got to do with what I'm preaching? I don't know, but y'all just take it. It's part of time. It's part of seeing the clock, seeing where you're at. Where are you coming short? I don't want to come short. Anyway, I've been faithful, and I'm not saying this to be bragging. It's just because it was the way I was taught. It was the way I was preached to. The way I was trained, I was raised. I've been faithful all my life in paying my tithes. My children knew that. If we couldn't pay the electric bill, we paid our tithe. I've done it. I have paid my tithe and had the electricity turned off in my house. You know what God did? God sent the city drunk by... After the city turned my electricity off on Friday afternoon, the city drunk came by, and he said, my name was Roach, and he said, I cannot stand the thought of Miss Roach and those children not having. He climbed the light pole, and he turned it back on again till I could get in Monday morning and pay the electric bill. But I was faithful in paying my tithe. God took care of us. I've run out of propane in the dead of winter in Missouri when it was 30 degrees outside and we didn't have any heat. But God provided. I did not take my tithe and pay the propane bill. I do not know where I'm telling you, God's trying to talk to somebody's heart this morning. I did not take my electric bill money and pay my tithe and pay the electric bill. I did not do that. And so all these years, we like most folks, we were just payday to payday. And man, it was a shock that there was a dollar left on payday before the next check got deposited. But in the last 4 years, since the death of my husband, God has blessed me beyond measure. He has given me and given me and given me. And I am not saying this braggadocious, if that's the word. I'm just telling you a fact. I've given away just about as much as he's given me, Brother Gary. I've asked him, give me some more, God, so I can give it away too. I have. I've written checks. I've given people money. And I've never missed a dime of it. I've never come up short. God has always supplied. I'm telling you, if you're robbing God, you better look at the clock again, because time is fixing to run out. Time is fixing to run out. And you'd better make sure you can see the clock and not the chicken. You better keep your eyes on the time, because there is a time. The Bible says there's a time appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. After that, the judgment. Well, I got way off my notes today. Way off. But that's not unusual either. That's sometimes the norm. But my thought and what I felt like all the way driving here, I drove in Friday. And I wrestled with that. I said, Lord, you sure that's what you want me to preach? You know? Yeah, you don't do that, do you? You don't say, Lord, is that really what you want me to do? No, you just say, yeah, sure, I'll do it, Lord. Yeah. Lord, but that all the way from Oklahoma to Texas, I could hear the Lord saying, can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you? Let me just say this. If you can't, you better move. If you can't see the clock from where you're at spiritually, then you better move. You better get a little closer to the clock. You may have to get right up on top of that to see what time it is so you're not distracted. Whoa, hallelujah, glory, made it. You may have to get really close so you're not distracted by the chicken so you can see the time. And I'm telling you today, you need to get closer to the clock. You got something distracting you from the clock today. And you need to get close enough to the clock spiritually that those things are not between you and time. God's time. Let me read you a little poem here. Probably smart as some people, I'd have it memorized, but I'm not. It's called The Dash Poem. You've probably heard it many times. It was written by Linda Ellis. She said, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Now, let me tell you something a little interesting. If you go to the cemetery and you walk the rows and you look at the tombstones, it doesn't matter if they died at 6 weeks old, 60 years old, or I've seen some stones of people 100 years old. Did you know the dash is the same length? They don't make short dashes, medium dashes, and long dashes. The dash is the same. How did you spend your dash? Joel Hemphill wrote a song. There's no way I'd try singing it, but I won't read the lyrics to you. He says, we move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment and it turns another day. Days turn into seasons, summer's heat and winter's cold. But God keeps another time, so I am told. The chorus says, can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the hour by the pointing of the hand? Night is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? We seem to know the seasons for the planting and the plow, but there's a greater harvest going on right now. Gathering wheat into the barn until the trumpet blows. Reaping will come to a close. Time will reach its fullness from the mountain to the shore. God's angel will step out and say that time shall be no more. The sounding of the final chime will ring eternity. Oh, make sure that you can clearly see. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the hour from the pointing of the hand? Night is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? That's my question to you this morning. Is the clock in free view this morning to you? Can you see the clock this morning? Do you know what time it is? Used to be a chorus. I don't know if Brother Dan even knows this. It's so old, but we used to sing a song that says, don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Life will soon be through. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. I'm going to make a statement right now that's a pretty bold statement, but somebody needs to hear it. Just because you came to the house of God this morning and you felt the presence of God and you felt good, it's felt good, does not mean that everything's all right between you and God. That's not a guarantee. Do you know that? That's not a guarantee. Well, I really enjoyed the service this morning. I felt the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says the devil, he even trembles. He recognizes the presence of God. I don't know how long I don't know when your dash is going to end. I don't know when mine is going to end. I'm coming up on a year anniversary, October 31st. Many of you remember. I left to head home on a Wednesday morning, October 31st last year. I'll tell secrets. I'd been to breakfast with my sweet friend. We had been at breakfast at Cracker Barrel. And I left there, headed home. And I told him goodbye. Didn't know how long it'd be before I'd be back again. And I left there, and I remember as I'm driving towards Fort Worth thinking, I'm going to make it home in time for church tonight. I left early enough in the day. I looked at my GPS, and I'm going to make it home in time for church tonight. Guess what? I didn't make it home for church that night. I saw that truck all of a sudden stop and realized he wasn't going nowhere, and I was. And the next thing I knew was just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as I slammed into the back of that truck and those airbags went off all around me, I didn't know Brother Gary. I didn't know my dash, I didn't know. I might be getting ready to plug that year on the other side of that. Could have very easily ended. And I ended up overstaying my welcome at the Norse, you know, a couple more weeks while they took care of me. But I'm telling you this, I don't know, and you don't know. I don't care. Like I said, this last week, my grandchildren held the body of their little newborn baby that never even got to breathe. I got word yesterday of two friends that had passed away yesterday up in Virginia. One, he was probably about my age, and the other one, she was probably close to 90. I don't know what today will bring. I don't know if I'll make it back to Oklahoma or not. As God wills, that's what I want. But I'm going to tell you, when that clock stops for me, I don't want to be anything between my soul and the Savior. Would you stand today? I'm going to give this to the pastor, and I'm going to let him. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. And I don't know. I know this is for somebody, because you don't waste time, God. You don't waste our time. And you didn't give me these thoughts and this word for nothing. It's for somebody. And I may never know who. I don't need to know who. It's really none of my business. But God, I pray that you will quicken their hearts and they will know. And they will realize, I can't see the clock because I got too many things between me and the clock. Too many activities. Oh, maybe some bad feelings. Some hurt feelings. Maybe what's distracting you. I've just let other things come in, and I can't see the clock. I think I'll step out on a limb and just ask you this morning, who wants to see the clock a little clearer today? Would you just come and let's stand across the front this morning and just join each other in prayer and ask God, clear my eyesight, Lord, so I can see the clock. Clear me of the distractions. Clear me of the things that have come between me and you, Lord, so I can clearly see the time in front of me, and that I will use that time. I will redeem that time, and Lord, that I will be found working when you call me home. Let's all just pray. Reach over and touch somebody. Pray for someone this morning and say, God, just help us today, Lord, to see the